Well, good morning, everyone, again. Thank you, Debbie, for sharing the update on our missionary giving. Why don't we just pray right now for that? Can we do that? Let's pray the Lord to bless the fruit of our labor through the funds that we give. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for just the opportunity, Lord, to be here again on this beautiful day that you've created. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, you say in your word. And we're going to be glad because you are on the throne and you are sovereign over all the earth. Every man, every woman, every child was created in your image, but not every person knows you as their father. And this breaks our heart. This breaks our heart. I can imagine how much it breaks your heart, how you're longing for your creation to be your children. Lord, that's why we want to give. We don't want to give because we just want to sort of meet a goal, although goals are good. We don't want to give just so we can fulfill our promises, although fulfilling promises are great and they're necessary. But Lord, ultimately, we want to have people that you have created in your image originally to live with you forever. How can we do that unless people go? And how can people go unless they're sent? And how can they be sent unless they're sent in the right way, prepared spiritually, physically, and financially sound? How can we do that, Lord, unless these things happen? So, Lord, would you take our tithes and our offerings and special offerings and help us meet the goal? Because the goal, every dollar represents a soul. Every goal represents a soul that needs to know you in a better way. So we take what we have. It's all yours anyway. But we give to you and we ask, God, that you would help us meet that goal. And not just our goal, but the goal of every missionary organization, every fellowship in this country and around the world, as we all give. It all needs to be done by everyone who knows you. So thank you. We just want to thank you ahead of time that you will make every penny, every cent go to where it needs to go in order to further your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much. Be with us now as we look into your word. We ask this, Lord, in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is prayer? What is prayer? We're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of prayer. We've talked about other spiritual disciplines, right? Solitude and silence. How are you doing in that area? We've talked about worship. How are you doing in that area? Wonderful worship time this morning. It always is. Well, there's another spiritual discipline called prayer. And if I had a show of hands this morning, I would probably ask you, you know, how many of you are satisfied with your prayer life? Well, frankly, I hope you're never satisfied with your prayer life, right? Because we can always spend more time in prayer. Of course, we need to put feet to our prayers. That's not all we do in life. But we need to start that way. We need to continue that way, and we need to end our day that way. Well, how can we do that? In your message notes, we're going to follow along in the outline this morning. I sent it to you this morning, or you can go to the website and download it under Resources tab. Well, what is prayer? By the way, in the message notes, it's the second page, the today's date. I always give you last week's message as a reminder, but just look to page number 2. What is prayer? Prayer is simply communing with our Father and our Creator. Prayer is talking to God. It's conversation with God. It involves both listening, though, and speaking, not just talking, right? It is less about a way to get your needs met and more about drawing close to God and giving Him all the honor that He deserves. And we can find those definitions in Ephesians 6. I won't take time to read them, but they're in your notes. Exodus 33, Acts 17, and 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says to give thanks and to pray without ceasing. So it's a conversation back and forth. It's listening. It's a give and take. I almost I almost want to say that we have a talkative God. But the word talkative means that, you know, he sort of can't control, you know, his speech. But we have a verbal God. God loves to speak. You have to just look in the Old Testament and you can see pages and pages. God himself, in prophecies, through people, talks. Now, he talks a lot less from that perspective in the New Testament in that way, but he talks more through his son, Jesus Christ, and the Word. So he's still talking a lot in the New Testament as well. God loves to talk. And we need to hear what he has to say. Amen? So, number two. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Well, real quick. Number one, it's how we approach God, as I mentioned earlier. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Remember in the garden, after Adam and Eve sinned, God goes through the garden and says, Adam, my son, where are you? I mean, does God not become omniscient at that moment? I mean, did he sort of lose his memory, or he just can't be all-knowing at that moment? Well, no, of course not. He's asking Adam to come to him. Why run away from me, Adam? He says, run to me. He seeks after Adam so he can talk with him. This is how we approach God. We must seek after him. So it shows that we love and respect him. Remember, we talked about the whole idea of what worship is. Worship is, in the Hebrew word, is bowing down. It's bowing down on your face to God. There's ways in which we can come to God. It's the way we approach God. Do you have a place you can approach God? There's nothing wrong with beauty and tradition. Today I've put a little tablecloth here, some candles here, you know, to sort of create a sense of, you know, intentionality, focus. In my prayer room in the house, I have certain things. I don't worship those things, but I have certain posters, things like that, that sort of give me a sense of environment, of beauty and of focus. Do that. Create a special place in your house. You've seen the movie, what was it called, Prayer Room or War Room, there you go. Great movie, War Room. And this dearest older lady, she takes a closet, you know, and that's her prayer closet. She empties it of all her clothes. It's like almost like the size of a walk-in closet. And she just puts her prayer requests on the wall. It's a great room, War Room, a great movie, War Room. Check it out. Do whatever you need to do to help you focus on the Lord. Jesus did. He went into the mountain and prayed. All through the Old Testament, we see people going alone to a special place. Jesus went to the garden to pray. I mean, was there something about the garden? Well, yeah, I don't know, but it was a nice place to pray. It's a quiet place to pray. Where's your place to pray so you can approach God? God is everywhere. It doesn't have to be a holy place, quote unquote, but try to have a regular place to do something. Be intentional with it. Number two, why do we pray? It aligns us with God's purposes for our lives. Matthew 6:10. Right? Not your will, God, not my will, but yours be done. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer later on. And when you, in a sense, pray according to God's will, you're in a sense tuning yourself with God. You know, the best violins, let me just put it this way. I'm not a violinist, but the best instruments, but we can use the instrument violin. The best tuned violins start with the best tuned pianos. Am I right or am I wrong? The best tuned guitars start with the best tuned pianos. You need that first note, unless you've got perfect pitch or whatever, or one of those tuning forks. You got to start with the right pitch so you can go ahead and tune the rest of the instrument. If the first pitch is off, well, the rest is going to be off, right? You're an architect. You're building a huge building, a huge skyscraper. Well, you got to be sure that that foundation is level. If it's off just a little bit, in the foundation, by the time the skyscraper gets all the way up to the 20th or 30th floor, it's going to be way off, right? Because it wasn't started on the right level. It's the same way with prayer. You want to be sure that you're starting in the right way according to the will of God. Fine-tune to what he wants you to pray. Because only that which God wants done gets done, right? You can ask, but only what he wants done gets done. So we want to pray according to his will. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. So pray. How do we pray? We approach God. We pray according to His will. How do we pray? Why do we pray? We pray as an expression of faith. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. What is faith? Three things. Please remember these three things, real quick. Faith is belief, it's trust, and it's loyalty. It's belief, trust, and loyalty. Think about that. Think about that for just a second. How's your belief? How's your trust? And how's your loyalty? You can't pray unless you have those in your mind. If you're not saved, you got to get saved, because that's the starting point. Prayer and petition, belief in the Savior comes before right behavior. Belief in the Savior comes before right behavior. Number four, why do we pray? It gives peace. Don't you feel peace right now? Just through the music and through prayer? Maybe you're all anxious and tense, and then you put on some good background instrumental music. Wasn't the guitar and the vocals really cool this morning, the piano? It just sort of gave you this sense of peace. Well, that's what prayer does. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, talks about the peace that passes understanding will be in your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, right? Because you're not anxious, and you're not afraid, and with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God. And what? The peace of God that passes all understanding, right, will be with you. So prayer and petition always precedes peace. Why do we pray? Because prayer and petition always precedes peace. You want to be more peaceful? You got to be better at praying. Got three choices, right, when you're anxious. You can panic, you can be passive, or you can be proactive. There's only three, or maybe I guess a combination of a few of those. But the point is, let your anxieties, let your fears, ask God questions, and the peace will come into your heart. Why do we pray, finally, number five in your message outline? It changes things, and it changes us. Isaiah 38:5 talks about that. John 14:14 talks about that. It says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I mean, think about that. If you ask anything in God's name, he's going to do it. Now, of course, it has to be according to his will. It's conditional. Prayer is conditional. But it's that sense of asking in his name. And things will get done. Asking in Jesus' name and you'll never be the same. How do you solve disagreements? A family that prays together stays together. It's much better. It's much easier, let me put it this way, to stay together if you pray together. I certainly believe, and I think, and I know it's supported by Scripture, that every couple ought to pray every day. How can you say that? Great men of Christianity have said this over the years, and we can see it in Scripture, that couples should pray every day. Why? Because marriage is about unity, right? The two have become one. You become, in a sense, more whole. You complete one another. But if you don't pray as a couple, married couple, if you're not going to complete one another, you're going to compete with one another. It's all about completing or competing. And prayer helps you complete one another. You can't argue while you're praying. Can I be practical? Try it. It just doesn't work. I mean, you can try, and you can sort of be non-direct in your prayers, I suppose. But you can't argue while you're praying. You listen to each other more. You can repent while you're praying. In prayer, you can say things in prayer maybe you wouldn't say to your spouse. Have you thought about that? It happens so many times with Julie. Julie and I pray every day after dinner. Every day. We've hardly missed a day. We have a little devotional time. We listen to a podcast sometimes. We read sometimes. And then we pray. No matter how our day has gone, no matter what our relationship is like, prayer always just clears the air. And maybe we're still working through some things, but we work through it with greater love. Because why? We brought a third party into the conversation. Right? Marriage is like a triangle, right? You get closer to each other when you get closer to God, as the old image goes. So couples, please pray. Families, please pray. Roommates, please pray. Whatever situation you're in, find a prayer partner. And it could change you and change the situation. Prayer unifies, it sanctifies, it energizes. If it comes from a heart that dies and cries to God, if it's a selfish prayer, it won't. It will drain you. But if it's a heart that's really sincere and honest and transparent before the Lord, it will energize you. Right now, we have healthcare workers that are fighting around the clock that need to see things changed. And they're not. I was just reading this morning some statistics fresh off the Maryland Health COVID site. And in the last 24 hours, there's been 3,193 confirmed cases of COVID. The positivity rate in Maryland has gone from almost under 1%. It's now over 8%, 8.04%. Confirmed deaths now are 4,659 in the last 24 hours. 29 people have died. Total beds in the hospital are equal to what they were in May. Acute beds are greater than they were in May. The good news is that ICU beds are down, but they're climbing. Currently in the hospital, there's 1,598 people, 48 people, excuse me. Last 24 hours, another four have gone into the hospital. Prayer changes things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that prayer can change these statistics? I do. Let's just stop and pray right now. Let's just stop and pray. Father in heaven, there will be in Maryland tonight probably another 20 people that'll pass away into eternity. Right now, many of them are on their last breath. They're on their last heartbeat. The functions of their organs are slowing down, and they're going to stop. And they're going to go from this life and do their next life, an eternal life. They're either going to go into eternal life with you or away from you. Lord, we pray that every person, not only in this state, but in other states and around the world, millions of them, thousands of them, that will not be able to see tomorrow's sunrise, would you help them repent and believe in you as their Lord and Savior so that they can be healed and that they can have a relationship with you? Lord, we ask that you would be with our healthcare workers right now. Many of them are maxed. 90% of the hospitals, all 21 in Maryland, are full to capacity. And things are going to get worse unless, Lord, you intervene. So, Lord, would you be with those healthcare workers? Many of them are struggling from compassion fatigue. They struggle with compassion fatigue. Many will die alone because they can't have any visitors in the hospital, and they will go away from this earth alone without a loved one next to them. And only the healthcare worker is the only one to console them before they take their last breath. Father, would you speak through every health professional and those that know you? Will they be able to share the good news of salvation to each person? Lord, we ask that you would be with the medical researchers of the vaccine that's going to come out soon, next week or so. Millions of them will be distributed. Lord, we pray that every vaccine will be a safe one. Everyone will be of an effective one. Will be 100% efficient. And that there won't be any mistakes in any of those vaccines. And nobody will lose their life as a result of them. But Lord, you don't even need a vaccine. You can right now, you can say, be gone. And this virus will be completely eradicated from every air bubble in the world if you want to do that. So, Lord, we know that prayer changes things. We see it in Isaiah. We see it in John, that if we ask in your name, you'll do it. So, Lord, we ask, in Jesus' name, would you do this? And even if you don't, we'll still believe in you. But we'll thank you ahead of time. We believe you can do it, and we know that this time next year, things will be just totally different. We hope it'll be way before that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to pray. Yeah, and wait for that. in the future. Okay, so we talked about why we should pray. Now let's talk about how we should pray. We should pray in faith. In Mark 11:24, can we read this together if you have your message notes with you? If not, you can just listen to me. But it's always good to read together in corporate prayer. How should we pray? Well, in Mark 11:24, it says this. It says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." So that's why often when I pray, I say, "Lord, I thank you ahead of time." You probably hear me pray that way often, because it's a prayer of faith, all right? Remove all doubt in your mind. Where two or three agree in my name, there he is. Think about that. Where two or three people agree in my name, there I am. That's why, friends, couples, and not saying that you can't, this doesn't happen if you're not married. I'm just saying, if you are married, you not only are a unity to one another, and you agree within that unity, wow, that's powerful, isn't it? I believe the most powerful prayer in the world can come from a couple. It can come from a non-couple, of course. But a couple has a unique opportunity to see God's will be done, because you're meeting those requirements perfectly, right? Two or three gathered in my name, there I am, and agree, and it'll be done. So ask. Don't be afraid, though, to ask your questions. Just because you're praying in faith doesn't mean that you don't have a question, okay? Faith doesn't mean that you are dishonest about your feelings. You just resist your doubt, that's all. You can have those sort of feelings like, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm trying really hard. You can have those feelings. You want to make sure those feelings go away eventually. But just resist your doubt. How? Share your feelings and ask questions. James says if you lack wisdom, you should ask for it. You should ask for it. Solomon did. James did. Why can't you? So, for example, if you're having a question about difficulties with your job, you can say to the Lord very easily, you can say, "Father, I want to see my boss or my supervisor come to know you as his Lord and Savior. But Lord, also my boss or my supervisor is really unreasonable. Sometimes he tells me what to do, Lord." I'm sort of just role-playing with you right now. "Lord, sometimes my boss or supervisor, you know, it doesn't give me the kind of clear expectations of how I should do my job. And Lord, it really bugs me because I do something and I don't even know if it's right or not, you know? And I got this coworker, you know, that it's sort of, he's really hard to work with." And you know, you just go on. You just go on and you just tell the Lord, you know, what your issues are. And you say, "Lord, how do we solve this problem?" Don't just tell him the problem and then leave. Say, "Lord, how do we solve this problem?" Be honest with God. Parents, you can do the same thing, okay? Children, you can do the same thing with your parents. My dad and mom, you know, man, I pray, Lord, that you would bring more unity with them. They argue so much. Or thank you, Lord, for my mom and dad. And I ask God that you would bless them. And parents, you can say the same thing to the Lord about your children. I wish my children would understand that I really love them, Lord. I pray, God, that my children would really understand that I want the best for them. And Lord, my son or my daughter, she just doesn't talk to me as much as I want her to. Maybe, did I do something wrong? I mean, why is she so quiet? I'm so sorry, Lord, if I'm not the kind of parent you want me to be. How can you restore, Lord, this relationship between myself and my daughter and my son, or my in-laws, or my daughter-in-law, or my son-in-law? We're just not, I don't know, the chemistry is just not there. An aunt or an uncle or a relative. Lord, I want to get closer to this person, but they won't let me into their lives. They won't tell me what they think and what they feel. Lord, how can we break that bridge down? You see what I'm saying? Maybe if there's one takeaway, by the way, we're going to finish this in a couple of weeks after Christmas, but you know, one of the takeaways right now is that I'm all for, "Lord, help me with this, provide for this, you know, pray in strength." But often we do not ask. We do not ask the Lord enough questions. We don't. We don't. Questions don't convey doubt. They convey desire. Not doubt. They convey desire. Desire to get God's wisdom into your life. They create a dependency upon God, a desire to get to know him more, a desire to receive from him, and a dependency to relate to him. Does that make sense? And so don't be afraid to ask God questions. You know, half the hospitals in the United States, this is medically proven, half the hospitals in the United States could be emptied from people that are suffering with illnesses as a result of anxiety, right? Disorders of some sort. And that can go from anything, even arthritis to mental issues to organ breakdown, all because people are not processing the anxiety in the right way. So don't be afraid to ask God questions. God answers prayer. He loves you. He made you. And he wants the best for you. But he needs to hear it from your voice. Oh, he can answer your prayer instantly. He could just, it's done. Why does God want us to say it? Because he knows that if he has your peace, he has you. You want peace. That's why we're praying, right? You want a lack of difficulties. That's right. And he knows that. And sometimes he will allow certain things in your life to get your attention. You know how to, you know what God's telephone number is? Do you know what God's telephone number is? Sometimes it's P-A-I-N. Sometimes it's N-E-E-D. You have some pain in your life. You have some need in your life. And he allows that pain and he allows that suffering in your life so that you will call upon him. And then he says, I'm here to help you. Finally, pray according to God's will. Not only pray in the name of Jesus, but also pray according to God's will. This is confidence. Can we read in 1 John 14:15? 1 John 14:15. And that says this, number three. This is confidence. We have an approaching God that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we asked of him. But we got to ask according to his will. So how do we do that? How do we ask according to God's will? This is really crucial in knowing how to pray. One of the best ways to do that is to pray the scriptures. For example, if you just turn to Psalm chapter 1, if you just turn to Psalm chapter 1, and you see here, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And verse 3 of Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Isn't that beautiful? Do you like taking walks? With friends, we often take walks in the mountains. And it's really wonderful this time of year to see some of the evergreens that are still green. And they never lose their color unless they die. Well, it's the way that God made the tree. But we know in the springtime or in the summertime, the trees that are by the rivers never turn brown, unless, of course, they die from disease or old age. That's like the human life. If we're always near the water, we'll always thrive. That's why we come to church. That's why we study the Bible. That's why we pray. When you pray, when you study the Bible, you put your feet in the stream. You put your soul in the stream of the love of God. And that's what he's talking about right here. So as you look through the Psalms, use it as a guideline. Here's the point. Under number three, according to God's will. Pray the scriptures. When you pray the scriptures, you'll always be praying according to God's will. Amen. I'm not saying that I'm not saying you have to always use the scriptures. Of course not. You can pray however you want to pray. But praying the scriptures, you're always praying in God's will. For example, you can just say this. You read number one. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Right there, you can stop. And as you're reading the Bible, you can say, Lord, help me to not be deceived by people who think they know more than you. There are times, Lord, where I will watch a program, or sometimes I'll listen to something on the radio, or maybe a friend will call me. And Lord, I will all of a sudden take their advice more than your advice. Lord, help me and protect me from that. Do you see what I just did? I read the scripture, and then I just prayed what the scripture said. That makes sense? Number two, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates day and night. Stop. He meditates day and night. Lord, I don't meditate day and night. Lord, I disagree. Not that I disagree, but I disobey. I don't disagree. But I disobey this all the time in my life. Lord, would you help me meditate day and night? Would you help me depend on you day and night? I don't, but I want to. In Jesus' name. Do you see what I'm doing here? You just pray. If you're doing it, you thank the Lord. If you're not obeying it, you confess, you repent, and you ask him to change your heart. Does that make sense? I pray the scriptures every day. That's one of my favorite ways of praying. Okay, so we pray. How should we pray? We pray in faith. We pray in the name of Jesus. Number three, we pray according to God's will. Number four, we pray unceasingly. We pray without ceasing. Oh, really? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We talked about this in the men's group on Saturday. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean you never stop praying? Well, yes and no. The word without ceasing in Greek literature was always attributed to an image. And that image was a nagging cough. Have you ever had a nagging cough before? Yeah, I got one in January and in February, and I think it lasted till mid-March. I may have already had the COVID, so guys, you're okay. And this cough just all of a sudden you just, and you cough, and then it goes away. And then maybe about 30 seconds later or a minute, you feel this, and then you cough again. Sometimes you don't even cough. It's sort of a silent cough. It's just this little tickle, and you just sort of resist it. Well, see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have this regular rhythm of prayer throughout the day. So here's a how-to. Are you ready? Here's a how-to. Schedule 5 minutes three times a day. This is what I'm going to do next week. I just thought about this the other day. I pray throughout the day. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my day timer out, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do my best. And three times a day for 5 minutes, I'm just going to write in there prayer, prayer, prayer. Right? I'm going to be intentional. I mean, you make an appointment with a doctor. Is God more important than a doctor? You make appointment with your boss. You make appointment with your spouse. You make appointment with your best friend. Our lives are run by appointments, right? Why not make an appointment with God? It makes sense, right? If you don't make appointments, it's not going to get done, right? Are you an organized person? Or are you a disorganized person or somewhere in between? If you don't make appointments, if you don't have a way of organizing yourself, it will not get done. My wife is wonderful at making lists. I mean, she just checks things off. Well, make an appointment with God. And that way you at least you're praying three times a day. Make an appointment with your wife or your husband. Okay, at this and such a time. Now, if something comes up, okay, you can change it. But a lot of people don't want to make an appointment because they're like, well, I'm not going to be able to keep it. Well, okay, make the appointment. And if you have to break it, well, then reschedule it. It's no big deal. It's just an excuse. Can I be hard on you? Don't use that as an excuse. I don't want to make an appointment because I can't keep it. That's an excuse. Don't do that. Just write it in there, and then you'll be forced to reschedule it. Never cancel an appointment without making another one, okay? So just have that in your as a rule of thumb, right? Some practical guidelines, okay? Another way in which we can pray is how to pray, is pray confidently. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Can we read that together? Excuse me, we're supposed to be reading these together, my fault. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We all need help. If we need help, we call a friend, right? And that friend is right there with us. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a mother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a husband and a wife. There's a friend that sticks closer than anybody, and that's God. And he's ready to help, but we have to ask his help. In Hebrews 4:16, it says that. We are a child of God. Let me ask you a question. Right, let me ask you a question. What child is afraid to ask their parents for food or something fun to do? Is there any 2-year-old, is there any 3-year-old, any 5-year-old that is ever afraid to ask mom for some candy or a cookie or to do something fun? Mom, I'm bored. Can we go and, you know, whatever? Can I have this now? You know, kids always live in the immediate. They don't know about delayed gratification. They want something and they want it now. They're not afraid to ask their parents, even if their parents turn them down. They don't care. They're going to keep trying, right? They're going to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. But what father or what mother won't listen to their child? They may not give the child what they want, but they're always going to listen to them. We need to be like a child. Seriously, not a spoiled one. But we need to be like a child. To ask God, okay, confidently, because you're his child. You know? Okay. Another one, number 6, pray stubbornly. Pray stubbornly. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And not give up. In Luke 18, 1. 18, 1. Don't give up. Okay? Can we look at that? Okay, let's look at that. Let's turn to that. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show them at times that we ought to pray and not to lose heart. Okay, we're talking about praying stubbornly and not giving up. And verse number 2, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God. Here's a story. In a city, there was a judge who didn't fear God and didn't respect man. And there was a widow in that city. And she kept coming to him, saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God, nor respect him, nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me," this judge did not fear God. This judge never met a man that he was afraid of. He was a very self-confident egomaniac, probably, or whatever. But there was a person he did fear, and there was this widow. Why did he fear this widow? Because she kept bothering him. "I will give her legal protection, lest she continually come out and wear me out." He didn't want to be worn out, so he says, okay, I'll give her what she wants. And 6, he said, the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. Now shall God bring about justice for his elect, who cry out to him day and night, and he will not delay long over them. I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith on earth?" When the Son of Man comes again on the white horse, will he come again? Will he find a person of faith? And the qualification or the example of the faith is somebody who doesn't give up. They persist. The best athletes in the world are not necessarily the strongest or the fastest, right? They're the hardest working. We know most successful people in the world are not the smartest. The most successful people are not the smartest. I'm not saying that successful people aren't smart. Many of them are. But we know, just in terms of business experience, the ones that are most successful in life are the ones that keep doing the right thing in the right way over a long period of time. Am I right? You do the right thing in the right way over a long period of time. That's the best secret of success. The secret of success is there's no secret. There really isn't, okay? Everybody has these little things. Oh, you want to be successful, do this, do this, do this. And they're helpful. They are helpful. But it really takes you just roll up your sleeves. You put on the necessary clothes, the mask, whatever it is, and you get to work. Okay? It's the same thing with prayer. Prayer is work. It's intentional. It's spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare in a couple of weeks. Right now, okay, and this has to do with what I'm telling you right now, we need to pray stubbornly because we are in a spiritual battle right now. And the devil wants you to give up. He doesn't want you to pray stubbornly. He wants you to pray very passively. If you could see the unseen world right now, All right? And the Bible talks about this, and we're going to look at that. Things are bad in our culture in many ways, but things are a lot worse than what you think they are. If you could see the unseen world right now, you would see battles in the heavenlies, and the Bible gives us a glimpse of some of that. You would see battle going on among angels. We've seen that already. Things in the unseen world are a lot worse than what they are in this world. But also, listen up, things in the unseen world are a lot better, too. The glorious God is there. The King of Kings is there. Only 1/3 of the angels fell. There's 2/3 of all the angels didn't fall. Do they have a chance against the 1/3? Oh, absolutely not, because God's on their throne, you see. So when you pray stubbornly, when you pray, you're praying not only for this seen world, you're praying in the unseen world, and we're going to talk about that. So don't give up. The greatest answers to prayer may not happen right now. They may not happen even in your lifetime. In fact, some of the prayers you pray may not even happen until you're gone from this earth. And God is like, yeah, I heard that. I heard that in 1956, and I'm still working on it. Do you know that? Every prayer you say to God, according to his will, he's considering it. It may not happen in the 60s. It may not happen in the 70s. It may not happen in 20, 30, no matter how old you are. But it might happen someday. So just because your prayer isn't answered right now doesn't mean it's not going to be answered. Does that make sense? So continue to pray. You never know what's going to happen. Don't give up. My grandmother became a Christian at 92 years old. I mean, she was just, you know, she was just on her deathbed just about, and she became a Christian. It's never too late to start doing what's right. And number seven, with the help of the Spirit. Pray with the help of the Spirit. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. That's in Romans 8:26. Sometimes we pray specifically, and this is the last point for today. Sometimes we pray specifically. We know exactly what to say, right? Sometimes we don't know what to say. Have you ever gotten to that point in your life? You're just desperate, and you're just crying out to God. Some of you know my testimony. I had arthritis for over 30 years, and there are times where, God, I was just in bed and writhing with pain, and I didn't know what to say, and I just groaned before God. You know, he hears those cries. He hears those groans. And sometimes he allows certain things into your life in order for you to express exactly how you're feeling, because God cares about feelings. He's not just there to get you to do his will in a sense of achieving his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He is interested in that. But he's also interested in your feelings. He's interested in how your day is going. And sometimes all you can do, and here's the point, is just share your feelings with God. And he loves that. He really does, because he wants to know you in that way. Abraham Lincoln said this: I have been driven many times on my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. Have you ever felt that way? All your wisdom, all your knowledge isn't enough. You've done your best, you've worked your hardest, but things are still not the way you want them to be. Do what Abraham Lincoln did, one of the greatest presidents of the United States. He wasn't perfect by any means, but he was on his knees. And that's one reason why we have a great country that we did, hopefully we still will in the future. Because there were presidents and there were leaders that were willing to understand the fact that there was a higher power above them and that they were never above the law. How about you? How about me? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as the worship team comes forward, we need you. What else can we say? We need to be people of prayer. We need to be people that can approach you. We need to be people that can align our purposes with you like a wonderfully tuned violin to a wonderfully tuned piano. Lord, we need to tune our lives with you and in you. Lord, we need to be saved. If you are hearing my voice right now and you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you can commit your life to Christ right now. That's right. Everyone's going to live somewhere forever. Do you know where you're going to be living? Seriously. Salvation starts with prayer. There's no other way. There's no other key that will unlock the door into an eternal life with God except the key of repentance and belief. Just say in your heart right now, brother or sister in Christ. That's right. Just repeat after me. Dear God, I'm a sinner. Dear God, I've been following my own ways. Dear God, I am wrong. And I want to change my thoughts. And I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. Just say that. And Lord, I want to believe in you, that you came as the Lord and Savior of this world. And I believe you came and you lived and you died and you rose again. And someday I'm going to be with you forever. Thank you. Come into my life right now. Just say that. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Continue, my brothers and sisters, to pray and to not give up. Lord, help us, Father, to pray in faith. Help us to pray in the name of Jesus. Help us to pray according to your will, Almighty God. Help us to pray unceasingly throughout the day. Help us to schedule in time of prayer. Help us to pray confidently, Lord, as your children. If there's anybody here that doesn't know that you are a child of God, you're wrong. Those thoughts are not from God. It's Satan telling you that you're not his child. If you've been born again, you are a child of God, and nothing can ever separate you from him. Rebuke that thought. Resist that thought in Jesus' name. Don't believe it. It's not true. Lord, help us to pray stubbornly, and help us to pray according to your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.